Good morning, Hope Singapore and Hope Global. Happy Lunar New Year to those who celebrate the occasions. Whether you celebrate the occasion or not, I hope that this week you had a wonderful time catching up with family members and friends, even if you had to meet in smaller groups. As for my siblings and I, previously, we just needed one gathering for everyone to meet one another. But this year, we need six gatherings. Perhaps that's the case for many of you as well. Whatever the case is, we thank God for the gift of family, biological family, and spiritual family. Shall we take time to pray for our families this morning? Dear Lord, we give thanks to you for the gift of family, biological family, and spiritual family. Today we pray for the fullness of your blessings, presence, and peace to be upon our families. And today we also ask you to anoint the preaching of your word. May the ministry of your word and the Spirit strengthen our hearts, refresh our souls, and transform our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name, and God's people would say, Amen. Amen. Today we are starting a new three-part sermon series entitled Paradox. According to Oxford Dictionary, a paradox is seemingly absurd or contradictory statement or proposition which, when investigated, may prove to be well-founded or true. Or in short, on the surface, it doesn't make sense, but when we dig deeper, it makes sense. Some examples of paradoxes. Less is more. Another one. Deep down, you are really shallow. Wow, that sounds really deep. The next one. I can resist anything but temptation. Wow, that sounds like a sad truth. Jesus, as a master teacher, also used paradoxes in his teachings as recorded in the four Gospels. They include, lose your life to save it, be last to be first, be a servant to be great. To those whose minds are already close to Jesus, his paradoxes would cause them to be even more skeptical. But to those who are open to Jesus, his paradoxes would draw them into a deeper understanding of truth. As such, for the next 3 weeks, I want to invite all of us to open our minds and our hearts to allow Jesus to speak into our lives through his three paradoxes. Today, we will be expounding the paradox of finding rest in burden. Next week, we will expound the paradox of gaining by losing. And for the final part of the series, we will expound the paradox of descending into greatness. So let us get started. Finding rest in burden. If you are taking notes, the title of today's message is Finding Rest in Burden. The text is Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Finding rest in burden. This is definitely a paradox, as on the surface, it sounds contradictory and illogical. The more conventional suggestions of finding rest include, take a long nap. This is a good suggestion, as many people today are sleep deprived. Another one, chill in a cool cafe. Last month, my wife and I chilled at a cafe in Upper East Coast Road. The cafe had a Melbourne ambience. That's a pretty good idea. Another suggestion, go for an exotic vacation. A good suggestion, but probably without your young kids. Otherwise, it will be their rest and not your rest. These suggestions make sense and logical, but finding rest in burden, that doesn't make sense on the surface. Let us then read together Matthew 11, 28 to 30, the passage where this paradox can be found. Shall we read it together, be it in your hearts or in whatever ways you are comfortable with? Come to me,
All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is implied in this passage that the Israelites were carrying a yoke. What is a yoke? A yoke is a wooden beam that is fastened over the necks of two animals and attached to the plow or cart that they are to pull. The image of the yoke was used to describe one individual's subjection to another. In this sense, the yoke was a common metaphor for the law in Judaism. The religious leaders in Jesus' time taught about the law and gave strict interpretations on how the law should be applied in daily life. An example of their strict interpretation on Sabbath day can be found in Matthew 12, the immediate passage after our passage today. Matthew 12, 1 to 2. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." The Pharisees believed that it was unlawful to pick some heads of grain on the Sabbath day. The Talmud, a central text of mainstream Judaism, identifies 39 categories of activity prohibited on the Sabbath. Among them are no sowing, no reaping, no weaving, no building, no baking, and no lighting of fire. Wow, their Sabbath day, which was meant for rest, had become a burden. And if this is true for their rest day, how much more burdensome their work day would be. The yoke was a metaphor for the law in Judaism. The law, with their strict interpretations by the religious leaders, was one burden that the people were carrying on their shoulders. The yoke was also a familiar metaphor in the Old Testament, describing subjection to foreign oppression. Leviticus 26:13. "I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high." Lamentations 5:5. "With a yoke on our necks, we are heart-driven. We are weary. We are not given any rest." And in the time of Jesus, the Israelites were under the foreign oppressions of the Roman Empire. The yoke that the Israelites was carrying in Jesus' time was the burden of the law and the burden of foreign oppression. How about you and me today? What is the yoke you are carrying on your shoulders? What are some of the burdens that you have been carrying? And are you getting weary carrying those burdens? Jesus said in verse 28, "All you who are weary and burdened." By the way, weary or weary? I check it out. Both British and American English pronounce the word as weary, just in case you're wondering. Weary evokes the image of persons exhausted from their work or journey. Burden indicates persons weighed down with heavy loads. Are you getting exhausted carrying some heavy loads in your journey of life? If you do, take heart. Jesus wants to give you rest. How can we then find this rest? And back to the paradox, how can we find rest in burden? Two thoughts from our passage today. Firstly, come to Jesus. Verse 28, come to Jesus. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Come to me is a tender call of intimacy to be with Jesus. It certainly includes the invitations to have a personal relationship with Jesus and the invitation to have
a close relationship with Jesus. A personal relationship and a close relationship. Jesus' invitation is in a sharp contrast to the religious burden and the burden of foreign oppression, the two heavy loads that the Israelites were carrying on their shoulders. And perhaps, even though you are already a Christ follower, you are still carrying a religious burden. You have been striving and striving, trying to be a better Christ follower, both in your being and doing. And often, you find yourself failing to meet the standard, and you feel guilty or even condemned about it. And at times, you feel angered by those around you for not striving as hard as you do. All these strivings and emotional battles have caused you to be weary and exhausted. If this is you, in full measure or some measure, Jesus' invitation to you today is this: come to me and I will give you rest. Perhaps some of us are carrying a burden of oppression. Not oppression by a physical enemy, but a spiritual one, Satan and his demons. One of the greatest fields for spiritual warfare is the battlefield of the mind. Perhaps the evil one has been bombarding your mind with unwholesome thoughts. And these thoughts are confusing you. These thoughts are weighing you down. These thoughts are causing you to be weary and tired. If this is you, Jesus' invitation to you today is this: come to me and I will give you rest. Perhaps some of us are carrying some other kinds of burdens. Perhaps you have been longing for somebody's approval, but no matter how hard you try, you still cannot gain the person's approval. Perhaps you have been praying for a breakthrough for a long time, but the breakthrough is still elusive. Perhaps you have been tolerating your spouse's failures, but he or she doesn't seem to be moved by your graciousness. Perhaps you have been parenting your children diligently, but you are not seeing the growth that you want to see in them. Or perhaps you are just being very occupied with the various obligations of life. If this is you, Jesus' invitation to you today is this: come to me and I will give you rest. Now, the question is, how do we practically come to Jesus? We come to Jesus by having a personal relationship with him. Jesus is the Lord of rest. And if the Lord of rest resides within us, then we can have 24/7 rest. In the Old Testament, God commanded his people to work for 6 days and rest for 1 day. In the New Testament, Jesus is our Sabbath rest. With Jesus in our hearts and lives, we can be at rest in our hearts and souls 24/7. We come to Jesus by having a personal relationship with him. We come to Jesus by setting aside time to connect with him, to cultivate a close relationship with him. When we set aside time to connect with Jesus, we are creating a space where he can touch our hearts and refresh our souls. Prior to the pandemic, I enjoyed my time at the office early in the morning after I sent my son to school. The office would normally be very quiet, and I would enjoy some time connecting with Jesus. However, the pandemic came and broke my rhythm. Also, my house turned into an office with work from home. Our house also turned into a school. From time to time,
with home-based learning. Our house also turned into a family guest house as my parents and my youngest brother took turn to live with us in the past 2 years or so. As my rhythm was broken, and as my house turned into a multi-purpose house, restlessness grew within me. At times, I felt trapped by the circumstances, and I was basically in a survival mode. Thankfully, God intervened and helped me develop a new rhythm, a pandemic rhythm. God taught me to use my bus rides home after sending my son to school to connect with him in unique ways. These connection times allowed me to receive refreshments from him. God also taught me to use a specific KFC in Punggol as a sermon preparation place. I just found that KFC to be a conducive place for sermon preparations. And as a bonus, I discovered that KFC breakfast mushroom twister original meal helped me to lose weight when I had the meal as brunch while skipping breakfast and lunch. Praise the Lord. By the way, in case you are wondering where this anointed KFC in Punggol is, I'm sorry, I cannot tell you. Please find your own anointed place and may you encounter the Lord there and lose weight at the same time. I'll be praying for you. The point is not about KFC or the bus ride. The point is about setting aside time to connect with Jesus, thus creating a space where he can refresh our souls. And if the pandemic has also disrupted your good rhythm, do ask the Lord to help you develop a new rhythm. Do not wait for the pandemic to be over. Do ask the Lord to give you a new rhythm even right now so that he can impart his rest into your soul during this pandemic season. We come to Jesus by setting aside time to connect with Jesus and cultivate a close relationship with him. One more practical pointer. We come to Jesus by choosing to trust him and surrender everything to him. Jesus models for us this practical pointer in Matthew 26, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus' heart was troubled and restless because of the impending crucifixion. Jesus then decided to come to the Father in trust and surrender. Matthew 26, 39. Going a little further, Jesus fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." As Jesus trusted the Father and surrendered his will to the Father's will, he found rest in his soul, as evidenced by the calmness he displayed during the crucifixion ordeal. Brothers and sisters, many times our hearts are troubled and not at rest because we feel that we are not in control. We fear that something may go wrong. We fear that we may not have done enough. We fear about the uncertainty of the future. As such, we need to come to Jesus in trust and surrender to find rest for our souls. Personally, I find marriage to be much easier to manage than parenting. Yes, I do crack the joke from time to time that while love is blind, marriage is an eye-opener. That's true. However, compared to parenting, I find marriage to be much easier to manage. Thus, I feel a lot more at rest in my marriage life as compared to my parenting life. Now, I truly desire to be a responsible and intentional parent. To me, this means that I would try to discern God's plan for for my child's life and parent the child accordingly. This is surely a good desire. However, the downside of wanting to be a responsible parent is that at times we strive too much and rely on our own efforts rather than trusting Jesus and surrendering everything to Him. For instance, my child is very passionate about tennis. He wants to be a professional tennis player. He has other passions, but his passion for tennis has been very consistent in the past few years. As such, as a responsible parent, last year, I battled within myself, trying to decide on the right tennis path for my child, including how many hours in the week I would allow him to train. He had other passions, he had his studies, and we had limited resources to work with. I needed to make a decision, but each decision would have a consequence for his future that caused me to be restless on the inside. Subsequently, I decided to surrender my child's tennis to the Lord. Practically, we cleared his schedule to allow him to join an intensive tennis program if or when a slot became available. I took the approach that if God didn't open the door for him to play more tennis, then it would mean that God would want him to spend more time in his studies. As I surrendered, I found rest in my soul. As I did my very best to be a responsible parent, and as I entrusted the rest to the Lord, I found rest in my soul, in my attempt in being a responsible parent. Friends, perhaps like me, you are also anxious about your children or your parenting journey. Or perhaps you are anxious about other aspects of life or ministry or both. And because you are a responsible person, your anxiety has been translated into hours and hours of striving, into hours and hours of human efforts. Whatever the case is, Jesus is inviting you and me to do our very best, trust Him, and surrender everything to Him. If we are willing to do this, then we can find rest in our souls. Amy Carmichael is one of India's best-known missionaries. Amy was born in Northern Ireland and grew up in a well-to-do Irish family. Amy arrived in India in 1895, and her ministry in India is most remembered for rescuing temple girls who would otherwise have become temple prostitutes if not rescued. Amy established a children's home to provide physical and spiritual refuge to abandoned children. Now, once, before Amy came to India, she felt lonely while observing a sweet married couple around her. As such, she wondered if she ought to marry. As she thought about it, she feared of growing old and being alone without a husband and children. Subsequently, Amy went to a cave to pray about the matter. And after several hours of telling God about how lonely she felt and asking God if she should marry, she heard a voice speaking to her. "None of those who trust me shall be desolate." Desolate means abandoned, forsaken, or alone. The Lord assured Amy that none of those who trust Him shall be abandoned, forsaken, or alone. Amy trusted the Lord and surrendered her love life to Jesus. And as she surrendered, I believe that she found rest in her soul. Even as she thanked God for his assurance and climbed out of the cave. Years later, in India, instead of experiencing the loneliness she feared as a younger lady, she became the mother of the many children she rescued. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I'm sensing in my heart today that there are some of us who are struggling very hard to surrender something to the Lord. It could be your love life, like Amy, or it could be something else. I believe that today God wants to whisper the same assurance to you. None of those who trust me shall be abandoned, forsaken, or alone. Would you trust the Lord? Would you surrender to the Lord? If you would, then like Amy, you will find rest in your soul. And I believe that like Amy, there shall be fruitfulness that will emerge from that place of trust, surrender, and rest. How can we find rest in burden? Firstly, we come to Jesus. Secondly, carry his burden. Verses 29 to 30, carry his burden. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As explained earlier, a yoke represents a burden. Now, Jesus doesn't want us to carry a religious burden, a burden of oppressions or other burdens. However, now, he's asking us to carry his burden and learn from him so that we can find rest for our souls. Is this a contradiction? Or how does this work out? Also, even though Jesus is against us carrying a religious burden, he wants us to obey the word of God fully. For instance, Matthew 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount, contains the high demand of character and conduct of being the disciples of Jesus. The demand is actually higher than the religious leaders' demand, as Jesus calls us to obey the word from our hearts and not just through external obedience. The demand is higher as Jesus exhorts us to be perfect, just like how our Heavenly Father is perfect. Again, is this a contradiction? If the demand is higher, then logically it is a heavier burden. How does this work out? How does carrying Jesus' burden helps us find rest? I offer three thoughts on how this works out. The first thought, Jesus is a gentle and humble leader. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. Jesus' yoke is a picture of discipleship to Jesus, who is a gentle and humble leader. Jesus was unlike the religious leaders in his day who were proud and hypocritical. Jesus is a gentle and humble leader who leads his people out of a loving relationship. It has been said, employees don't quit their job. They quit their boss. This is generally true, isn't it? While there are certainly employees who quit their jobs even though they have nice bosses, a lot more employees quit their jobs because they cannot stand their bosses. And the opposite is also true. Many employees have chosen to stay in their demanding jobs because of their nice bosses. The good news is that Jesus is a great boss. Jesus is a gentle and humble boss. Jesus' burden, his call of discipleship may be very demanding. However, we can still find rest in our souls when we follow Jesus as he is a humble and gentle leader who leads us with gentleness, humility, wisdom, and love. How does carrying Jesus' burden help us find rest? The first thought, Jesus is a gentle and humble leader. The second thought, Jesus carries his burden with us. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light, largely because Jesus carries his burden with us. This is where Christianity is not a religion. A religion normally offers good teachings, but not the power to live out those teachings. Christianity, however, is primarily a living relationship with a living God. Jesus gives us a very high moral standard to attain. He demands wholehearted obedience to his instructions and guidance. However, at the same time, he will also empower us to do what he's asking us to do. Jesus asks us to carry his burden, but he carries his burden with us by empowering us through the power of the Holy Spirit. For instance, Acts 1:8 is a burden Jesus has placed upon Christ's followers. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus has placed his burden on us to share his love with others, starting where we are and then to the ends of the earth. This is a heavy burden. However, Jesus also promises that he would carry the burden with us through the power of the Spirit. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Daniel Colender is an evangelist that God has used to lead millions of people to Jesus in the continent of Africa. Powerful miracles accompany his ministry, including healings of various kinds of sicknesses, deliverance from demonic influence, and resurrections from the dead. And here is Daniel's testimony about his ministry. Miracles are the easiest part of my job because I don't perform them. How true? The task of preaching and demonstrating the gospel is a heavy burden if we try to do it with our own strength. However, the burden is light when Jesus carries the burden with us through the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. I'm not sure if I have the face that says, get me involved, I want to serve. The thing is, ever since I was a six-month-old believer, I started to serve the Lord. And ever since then, in the past 27 years or so, I've been serving God in high intensity through various involvements and ministries. Now, by the grace of God, I've never experienced a burnout before. Did I ever get tired? Yes. Did I ever get depleted? For sure. But not burnout. If I may humbly summarize one of my life lessons in serving the Lord, the lesson is this. There is a difference between serving God with God and serving God without God. Let me say it once again. There is a difference between serving God with God and serving God without God. God's design is for us to serve God with God. God's design is for us to carry his burden with Jesus. Jesus wants us to carry his burden with him through the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. There are many applications to this truth. One of them is how Jesus can keep our hearts soft through his love. I'm so thankful that early in my walk with the Lord, I responded to God teaching me about how to forgive others. I do experience hurts and disappointments in my work with the Lord. I discovered that those wounds and pains are very real. However, I also discovered that the love of God is also very real. As I keep forgiving others easily and quickly, I keep my heart soft before the Lord and I find rest in my soul. As I forgive others quickly, my soul is not polluted or drained by bitterness. Instead, I experience God's tangible love in my heart again and again. It is so cool. It is so good that Jesus carries his burden with us through the power of the Spirit. How does carrying Jesus' burden help us find rest? The first thought, Jesus is a gentle and humble leader. The second thought, Jesus carries his burden with us. And the final thought, Jesus' burden is lighter than our burden. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus told us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This is true even if his call of discipleship is very demanding. In the final analysis, carrying Jesus' burden is lighter than carrying our own burden. I'm not sure if you have ever reflected about this point before. We basically have two choices to make. The first choice is to carry Jesus' burden. The second choice is to carry our own burden. Fellow Christ followers, we must remember that the promise of an easy yoke is meant to set us free from a self-serving and performance-based religion. The promise of an easy yoke is meant to set us free from a life of striving and relying on our own efforts. When we rely on our own efforts and righteousness to gain acceptance from God, we essentially choose to carry our own burden. When we rely on our own efforts alone to meet our needs, we essentially choose to carry our own burden. When we rely on our diligence, abilities, and experiences alone to serve the Lord, we essentially choose to carry our own burden. And when we choose to carry our own burden, we will discover that our burden is heavy and that we are tiring over time as our strength is limited. This is so different when we decide to carry Jesus' burden. Yes, this choice requires a commitment, and this choice is often not a popular choice. However, when we choose to carry Jesus' burden, we will discover that his burden is lighter than a religious burden. We will discover that his burden is lighter than the burden of oppression. We will discover that his burden is lighter than other kinds of burden. Then we will find the paradox to be true. We can find rest in burden when it is Jesus' burden that we carry. We can find rest in burden when it is Jesus' burden that we carry. How can we find rest in burden? Firstly, we come to Jesus. Secondly, we carry his burden. I've been reading the book of Isaiah for my devotions. And one key truth in the book of Isaiah is this. Let me show you on the slide. Kings who trusted alliances brought on disaster, while kings who trusted in God experienced deliverance. Similarly, the journey of finding rest for our souls is the journey of trusting God. And we know that we really trust God when we are willing to surrender our all to Him. Brothers and sisters, today, Jesus is inviting you and me to trust Him. Trust in His goodness. Trust in His faithfulness. Trust that He's sovereign and in control. And as we choose to trust Him, as we choose to surrender everything out of our trust in Him, then we shall find rest for our souls. Shall we stand together wherever you are today? Shall we respond to the Lord together this morning? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your great invitation to come to you. Thank you for your invitation to trust you and to surrender our all to you. Friends, I pray that today you could hear the Spirit's invitation to come to Jesus in trust and surrender. In a moment, we are going to sing a song of trust and surrender. And as you hear the Spirit's invitation, I want to encourage you to respond to Jesus by declaring your trust in Him and by surrendering what needs to be surrendered to Him. Wherever you are today, shall we lift up our hands in trust and surrender to Jesus, and let us worship Him together.